in this world we live in, there's runners and there's fighters. All your fists is all a fighter, and I know one when I see one.
Episode 2 of the 4-Step Program. First of all, thank you to everyone that listened to the first episode. Way more people listen than I ever thought. This is something I want to do for fun and for me, and another outlet of creativity and another excuse, I guess, to talk to some of my friends and some cool people around me. But I appreciate you listening and hopefully finding what we're talking about semi-interesting and enhancing and giving value to your day in some way. Today we have 4 more topics. So these are kind of fun and they were split up throughout different days. The first thing we talk about, and by the way, I have Brandon Fryer again. He was on the morning show with me from US 99. And this time Dan Levy, who's a guy, man, I have history with. So we went to college together and grew up kind of in broadcasting in Chicago over the years and took some different paths. And now we're back in the same building. So he's been in radio for a really, really long time. Really good, smart dude. One thing we talk about is survival mode. There was a couple guys in Chicago who basically saved their lives in the last possible second. They almost died just the other day. Sometimes those instincts kick in, and we're going to talk about some of those situations where we go into survivor mode or have gone into survival mode.
Why do you think you're going to end up naked?
Well, I hope I'm not naked in the woods. I hope not.
The second thing we talk about is cyber influencers.
The whole beef with another cyber influencer.
What? There's a whole new world of influencers on Instagram, and they're not real people, but they look like real people. Super creepy. We'll talk about that. And YouTube censoring. Even the CEO of YouTube said she doesn't let her kids watch YouTube.
And then some other burglar dog, bad dog, really bad dog, came, takes the guns out and blows that dog's head off, and there's blood everywhere. You're like, whoa.
Where's the...
pause, Paw Patrol.
Turn off,
pause,
turn
Patrol.
Off.
So I talked to Brandon, who's also a dad, about some of his methods of how you censor. As our kids watch YouTube, they watch shows, they watch video clips, they watch other kids playing video games, things like that, and a lot of adults and a lot of content that's just not regulated. So how we handle that stuff. And then, of course, Brandon breaks it down. Black Twitter, what are people talking about? And it's mostly about what happened with Juice WRLD at Midway Airport.
If you're just saying you're going to make a change and you're not taking the right steps, your actions have to meet your ambition. And if they don't, then you're not going to pass.
Let's get into it. The 4-Step Program. Thanks for listening again. If you hit subscribe and share it with your friends, that would be cool, too.
All right, Brandon, you feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
I love this story. We got to watch this video. Have you seen this video of the truck yet?
Yes, now so I have. Yes.
Since it just happened, we got to talk about it. So it's and I got stuck in this traffic. So there was a Park District truck here in Chicago that was driving down the path. Now, next to Lakewood, Michigan, there's like these running paths and these little areas that you can go and hang out on before you get to the actual water.
Right.
And it's next to like Lakeshore Drive. So it's like there's a big barrier. And then to the right of that, it's kind of like some steps down. And then there's a path that's probably about a car and a half wide, right?
Right.
And so they have salt trucks during the winter that go down it and they salt those areas, those paths for runners or bikers or whatever. And yesterday, when I was leaving work, traffic was super backed up. I saw ahead, there was like a whole bunch of fire trucks. And as I got closer, there was a tow truck with like the tow line going into the water. And I was like, damn, someone's in the water. That's not good. Come to find out, it was one of those salt trucks that was on the path, lost control, and slipped into the lake. Now, when you watch the video, there's two guys, workers in the salt truck that jump, bail, like tuck and roll moments before it goes into the water. Like the back end of the truck is in the water. They jump out like a movie scene.
Yes. It literally looks like like stunt devil type stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like, man, is this real? I had to
thought they were filming a movie.
I thought I was filming. Yeah.
And then the truck sank right away too. Like, so I mean, it was a lot of, if they didn't get out of the truck, then a lot of trouble.
Boom. Yeah.
But they did that so quickly. I have to think that at some point they had preconceived notions that that might happen and had thought to themselves, if this happens, I'm going to bail out of this truck. Like, what am I going to do?
They probably always thought that. Like, you think every day, every day that they're probably driving, like, if something ever goes wrong, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I do that all the time. Like, so, and you know, a lot of those trucks and those cars have, you know, those window breaker things in them. You need to have those in the car. Do you have one of those window breaker things?
Yes, I do.
Do you? I don't have one in my car. My fiance's does.
Yeah.
Have you ever used it to see how it works?
I haven't used it yet, no. I haven't.
How do I know? How do we know it works?
Right. That's
what, it's like the Tesla truck.
I'm like, oh my god, no, yeah. I'm stuck.
Yeah, it's the It's like the Tesla truck, man. Yeah. The window didn't break. This
is exactly this like that.
But I do that in a lot of scenarios. I think I'm paranoid half the time, but I think I like to be prepared. I used to do it a lot. Well, I used to fly all the time. Right. Every time I would get on the plane, I would watch everyone that's coming on, and I'd see who would be a good ally, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, that guy looks like he might be a big football player. Okay, that girl looks like she might be scrappy. If things go down, like, who am I going to connect with? But then I would try to make weird eye contact sometimes, and I'd, like, look at him and be like, maybe, do they know? Like, do they get it? Like, do they know we're on a team? Do they know that we are the Avengers in case things go down? And I don't think they do. I think they just think I'm weird.
I do the same thing. Like, when I get on the plane, except I kind of, like, I watch the people get in, and the person that I see, the person I want to, like, align with, I give them that little head nod. Once we make eye contact, I give them the head nod. Right. So I'm just like, look, me and you were cool. So if something goes down,
I always wonder, do you think that the other person knows why you're doing that? Or
I hope
just...
so. I hope they don't think I'm just head nodding out here for just no reason.
Right.
It's a reason
well,
behind my
it's
head
funny
nods.
That you think that, too, because if you and I happen to be on the plane and we head nod at each other, we are
you
on the same page.
You should already know, right.
We're,
yeah.
we're a squad. Yes. We're going, if things go down, then we got this
exactly.
covered. But you always look at the different people and you're like, okay, that guy's big. This mm-hmm. guy is not going to do anything.
Yeah. Like, that's what I do, too. I'm like, okay, right. is this person might start something with this one? Okay, can I take that person? Do I need to like be with this person? Okay.
So, I always have an out in those situations, too. And I think that's normal. I feel like I'm a really futuristic thinker. Like, I see a situation and I'm like 5 or 6 steps ahead, right? If this happens, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And not only in safety situations, but especially in safety situations.
Yeah.
Like when out walking the dog. You do that?
You're right. Trust me. Especially now, because it gets dark around like 4 o'clock.
Good point, yeah.
So like when I walk my dog, and I live in the burbs, so it's like forests and trees everywhere. So I always get afraid, like what do you do if somebody pops out?
Right.
What happens if I see an animal or like maybe a deer comes out or a coyote or something like that comes out? What do I do?
Do you keep a weapon on you?
First I play music and I do have a weapon with me at all
times.
You play
music?
Yeah. Cause
your headphones?
I'll play like my phone. I'll play like songs off my phone like really loud so people know like, okay, somebody's here. So maybe they won't come around because I from what I heard, they're more afraid of you than if they feel that you're a threat, then that's a problem.
People or animals?
Animals.
Oh, you're talking...
Yeah, more about animals.
Okay, you're talking about animals.
Oh, people, that's what the bat's for. The bat
do you bring,
is...
Do you carry a bat when you go with your...
Yeah.
When you take your dog out?
Yeah, you never know what can happen.
A full, like, Louisville Slugger? Like, or a small bat?
It's like, no, it's a pretty big bat. It's a metal, like... Louisville Slugger type of bat.
And you just walk down the street with your dog and your bat?
Yeah, people know me as like the bat guy. Yeah, they actually call me the bat guy. Yeah.
Really?
Because they see me walking down the street with the bat. Yeah. Especially in the wintertime. Wintertime more. Or at night.
It kind of makes more sense as if somebody's going to do something, they see you with a bat, like, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I went through this phase where I bought a lot of like weird weapons and ninja weapons and stuff off Amazon.
See?
And I always thought it was cool to have like these, I had like throwing stars and brass knuckles. And
you
these,
still
like,
have them?
I have them all. And like weird knives. And the one thing that I keep with me, two things. One, there's like it's a brass knuckles that has a knife on it that pops up.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. The weird thing is I don't know if I could use it, right? So, like, I've never been in a situation where I've used it. Like, will I punch somebody with these brass knuckles? Will I, you know, think fast enough to flip this knife open? Or will I just have brought a weapon for them to use?
Against me. Just taken away.
Yeah, and just here you go. But I'll take that out in my pocket. But, yeah, so I guess if I don't want things, like, if I want to deter things from even starting, a bat would be better to take. With you. The other thing I have is I have like one of those extendable nightsticks that like police have.
Oh, okay.
So it's small and I usually have it on me almost all the time. I used to keep it in my bag. I just took it out the other day. So it's like maybe, you know, 4 or 5 inches long and then it extends real quick.
Cool.
So when you're swinging, so you don't have to extend it and swing it, you just swing.
Swing and then just boom.
So I keep extends. That on me, but maybe I should just keep it extended and walk around. I just don't want to be that guy in the neighborhood that walks around with a weapon.
I'm okay if people like, yo, don't mess with him. He walks around with the bat. So
right.
I'm okay with that.
I'm starting to think I might walk around with a bat now instead of like the hidden weapon if things go down. Because you're right, it does get dark so early.
It's dark, like 4 o'clock sometimes? I'm just afraid.
Are there any other situations that you think about how you're going to save your own life?
I think about one. I know if I ever go swimming, I'm done. I know that.
Can you not swim?
No.
You don't know how to swim?
I mean, in my neighborhood, they didn't have like pools around, so we're not swimming out there. So if that ever happens, I'm done.
Okay.
Or I'm just hoping like my wife is around who can like save me.
Does that make you nervous with your kid?
My son can swim, actually.
Oh, so he can swim?
Yeah, so I made sure he was in class, and then once my daughter gets old enough, I make sure he swims. I also thought about being, like, lost in the woods for some reason. I don't know why would I be in the woods, but...
So you go to survivor mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't go camping. I'm not, like, a camping guy.
You ever watch those, like, shows, like, Naked and Afraid or something like that?
I've seen those, yeah.
I always, like, wonder, like, what would I do in
that situation? Why do you think you're going to end up naked in...
Well, I hope I'm not naked in the woods. I hope not. But I'm just like, you never know. It might get too hot. You just may have to.
That's right. Yeah, so you have it. So let's say for some reason you get kidnapped and they drop you in the woods and you have no idea where you are. You have your survival tactics.
Right.
You know what shows, actually, now you bring up shows. You know what show I watch? My fiance Shelby and I got into it. And it's like this weird guilty pleasure that we ended up like mindless TV at the end of the night when you're trying to wind down. You don't want to think about anything or get into anything. It's like a Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, or...
Yeah, something, yeah.
The show that we found on Netflix is called Preppers. Have you ever seen this?
I've never heard of this show.
So this show is about people that prep for the end of the world.
Okay.
So, but in all different ways. So they follow different groups of different people that think the world is going to end or the apocalypse is going to happen in different ways. Some of it is like if a nuclear, like George Bush.
Like a bomb happens, or attack happens.
Or if one of the radiation, what are the power plants, something happens with that, they have a whole contingency plan. So some of them have like bunkers and they have years worth of food. They have weapons because people are going to start to riot and need supplies. So they have, their house becomes a fortress, or they have escape plans. So they have a certain route that and a code for the family that they need to get to a certain place. Or if they put something out on the front lawn, they know, go to the meetup point where they have a boat waiting and they can take them. They have all these... They are prepped for the end of the world.
Oh, okay.
There's one guy that even
that would catch my attention right away.
He built a castle in the woods, like a medieval times castle.
Like built it, what, out of sticks or something?
Stone, like bricks, like a freaking castle.
Oh, my
God. So it's super secure or whatever. It's just a straight up brick castle. And his whole family, he actually helped him build it. And he actually has this whole competition between his kids to see who he's going to leave his prepper's fortune to, and his prepper's like, whatever supplies to, if anything goes wrong.
Is this castle close to his house?
Yeah, it's like in a woods, kind of like off an escape route of some point that they can get to, maybe a couple miles away.
Something's about to happen, let's run. Okay, because I'm like, I hope it's
close. And some of them have like these underground bunkers that they escape to. It's a whole thing, but the best part is at the end of the show, they rate them, their rate of survival. So they have these quote-unquote experts that will rate them on like, okay, your food supplies, it's only out of this because you're going to get run out of, you know, this by this time. Your security, right? So whether your weapons or how secure you are if people come for your supplies or your house. And so they'll rate you, because they're experts, based on the rate of survival or how long you... And then and they add up all the scores, and they're like, by this rating, you will only last about 18 months in the case that this might happen.
Oh my!
Some of them are like economic breakdowns. What happens if that happens?
Right.
So like, you know, people will start to lose their mind and riot. Some of them are like if a power plant or a natural disaster, or if we get bombed, or I don't know, whatever. Catastrophe.
Do they tell
could
them
happen.
What situation it is? Like,
yeah, these are
like, okay, this situation, see if you're going to prep for something like
it's not a competition.
Apocalypse. Okay.
It's not a competition where people are competing against each other to go ahead and then
it's
prep.
It's just a different episode.
This is their lifestyle.
Oh.
This is a reality show. Like, hey, we found these are people that do this already. They don't do it for the show. They found these people and created a show about these people that are preppers. Some of them have like people in the neighborhood that are all in on it, so it's like a neighborhood thing. You protect each other like a crew, you know.
Oh my.
Yeah, so it's not like a survivor show.
And it's different scenarios each time.
Yeah, it's people that are ready for different things. Some of them are the same things, but they're prepped in different ways.
Like different ways, so yeah.
Yeah, it is, and these people believe that the world is going to end at some point. People are going to start to lose their mind, and they need to be ready to survive. And so they are prepped and ready for it, and I am into it. I am into this.
Those are the people you need to do the head nod with, just in case.
Those are the ones that get on the plane.
You look at some, Head nod. That's the one. Head nod right there.
Dude, you gotta watch the show Preppers. You're gonna become a prepper.
I am gonna watch it.
And that's what makes me think in these different scenarios, what would I do if if my car slipped into the lake, okay, how am I gonna get out? How am I gonna fix this? I'm trying to think, there's been some specific ones that now are slipping my mind of scenarios that I remember specifically going, okay, I'm ready in case these things happen. But now I can't think of them. Oh, I think all the time now, you know what scares me is movie theaters, with active shooters, where am I going to go? I think about actually in the studio here all the time, right?
Right.
So if something happens, someone came down the hallway, what am I going to do? Where am I going to hide? What weapon do I have around me? What can I use that could be a weapon? Like, look around, there's scissors there, there's screwdrivers. Yeah. Okay, look at I could hit somebody with that, that hole puncher, right? A mug across the face. I don't know. So I have a plan.
I think
all the
same
time.
Thing too. That's one of the main reasons why I keep the light, in my studio off.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want no one to notice I'm there.
So if something goes down, you're safe, and we're all.
Would you come save us, or are you trying to escape? I'll try to give you guys the head nod. I'll give you the head nod, and then after that, I'll try to save you.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what do you think? Is it a try to save other people or try to save yourself scenario?
First, I want to see if. I mean, I feel like more people I have, the better my survival chances are.
Sure.
So you want to help others. But I mean, at first I okay, can I make it out too? Could I make it out? If this don't work, can I make it out?
So our radio studio in Dallas had a fishbowl window. So it was a window like that to the studio, but it went out to the lobby of the actual whole building, right? So it wasn't just the internal kind of like we are here, where it's facing other studios, hallways, and things like that. But ours, so people that would come to the lobby of the building and go to the front desk to check in before they can get buzzed in. So security wise, there's windows and they could see us right into the studio and they could see it. So I'm always watching.
Oh yeah.
And we're there early. And there's a double set of doors that we were supposed to keep locked, but it was the closest to the bathroom. So sometimes I go out and unlock it and come back in. But I would always be looking out that window because there's no, here they have to go through a little bit of security to actually get up to where we are. Right. For the building and then again on our floor, but not in Dallas. It wasn't like that. If they're in, especially before anybody else gets there in the morning with the morning show, they can go right up and see us right from the lobby.
Okay,
and that's right there.
Yeah.
So it's I always kind of had a plan that here's what I'm going to do.
Is that why you came with that mentality every time now that you're in the radios, in the booth and stuff in the studio?
I just always think, I think we live in a kind of a, I guess it's a crappy culture too, where you do have to think about those scenarios, the active shooter things all the time now.
I mean, stuff is going on. Yeah.
Because it's happening. So it's not only the active shooter stuff, but I do, like you said, you do it with the dogs, you do it on the airplane, you do it. If I get in the car, I'm driving somewhere, you got to be ready.
You don't know when your time is up on this earth. So, I feel like you prep for everything. We all do it.
Right.
Like life insurance, all that stuff.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
In a situation like this, of course. What happens if this happens? So what do I need to do?
The train, every time I get on the train.
Yep.
I think about what I'm going to do. Who else? It's kind of like
the
plane
scenario.
I think
about when I drive, what happens if there's an accident or what happens if this car, when you buy a car and you see the semi truck and what happens if this car flips, where would I move? How would I angle? Would I put the brakes or will I just accelerate?
So I used to look at that too because I used to have a motorcycle and it's all about anticipation. I would always be anticipating other people's moves. It wasn't about me. And the one thing that they taught me, because I took the motorcycle school, right?
Okay, yeah.
One of the things they teach you is how to use the power of the bike to get out of there. So it's not about stopping and slowing down. It's about using the power of the bike to get out of these dangerous situations and boom, take off.
Right.
I'm out of these crazy situations. Just go. Because the bike will get you out of there.
Can get you fast. So just go.
So use the power of the bike to get you out of something. So if you're in someone's blind spot, don't try and slow down and measure their speed. Just get out.
Just go.
Kind of situation. So I did anticipate a lot of the stuff on the roads. And the last one, when I'm DJing, at bars and clubs now, because they get real crowded, things happen. I've been in bars where crazy fights have broken out.
Me too.
People have been hit over the head with bottles, right in front of me, throwing bottles, and I've had to duck behind my DJ booth and things like that, throwing chairs. I throw parties, man. I shut places down. I think about how I would get out of the bar, what I would grab, or whatever the case may be. But those situations, I try to look 8 steps ahead, like these guys in the truck. I think that they at some point knew that if they were going to slip off this icy path, I'm going to tuck and roll. I'm not going to think twice about it. I'm tucking and rolling. That's it.
Yeah. It was already premeditated. Like, you just know that. Yeah. Just every day of them driving before then, they was like, okay, this is what we're going to do when this happens. So I definitely see that.
And Brandon, this is why we're still alive.
Right. We got to.
Okay.
All right.
Be prepared, people. Watch Preppers.
I am going.
Just so you know, I decided to actually split up the four different steps of each episode into four different files and four different episodes of the podcast. So if you want to hear episode two, step two, about cyber influencers, you can go to that episode now.